From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Welcome to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. To begin today's program, we invite your attention to an excerpt from Q&A with Alan Cairns, part of a series in which Dr. Cairns answers various questions that are frequently raised as Christians endeavor to live for the Lord and to be a witness to the unsaved. Dr. Cairns is the Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina, and his long experience in the pastoral and teaching ministry will help to provide insights into areas of concern for both believers and unbelievers in this day. A DVD containing all of these interviews is available at no charge from Let the Bible Speak. Ordering information will be given at the close of this broadcast. Now, here is Dr. Cairns to answer the question, why do we end our prayers in Jesus' name?
There are various reasons why we end our prayers in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Number one, because He commanded us to ask in His name. Number two, because of the significance, what it means to pray in Jesus' name. When we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus, we are praying first upon His authority. We're praying with His warrant. In other words, prayer is not hit and miss. It's not a shot in the dark. It's not some sort of a spiritual wish list. Real prayer is that which is presented to God on the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then there is the thought that it is presented on the merit of the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, when we pray, we're asking God to give to us that which Christ has deserved, that which Christ has merited for us through His life and His death, through His personal righteousness and obedience. Jesus Christ has merited for His people all the benefits of the covenant of grace. All of them. True prayer is coming to God, seeking in the name of the Lord Jesus, on the authority of the Lord Jesus, using the promises of the Lord Jesus, and according to what He has deserved, it is coming to God to ask, confer the benefits of the covenant of grace. Grant graciously what Christ has purchased. One final thought. Jesus has the name of the Amen, the true and the faithful witness. When we come to God in prayer, we are calling Christ as our witness. We're saying to God, look upon the face of thine anointed. Look upon Jesus Christ. Hear His speaking blood, and for His honor and for His glory, grant us the answer to our prayers. Because what we pray, we are praying in the name of the Lord Jesus.
exchange for the cross of Calvary.
Your Bible reading is usually in the Authorized or King James Version. You have probably encountered words that are quite unfamiliar. Because the Authorized Version was translated in the 17th century, some of its words are no longer in use, or perhaps have a different meaning now. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to offer a booklet containing many of those archaic terms and their meaning in modern-day speech. In addition, the booklet contains a Bible reading plan that will help you to read the whole Bible through in 2 years, as well as the Psalms and the New Testament twice. To obtain your copy of A Bible Word List free of charge, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you prefer regular mail, simply write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your copy of A Bible Word List, and we'll be happy to provide it. Today, our speaker is the Reverend Armand Tomassian, Senior Minister of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Currently, we are featuring messages from a series he preached from Paul's first epistle to the Thessalonians. Today, he continues a message entitled, An Example Worth Following. Now, here is the Reverend Armand Tomassian.
This church's primary desire, their longing, was to trumpet out the message that changes lives and changes homes. Their focus, therefore, was on Christ, His person, His work, the love of God for sinners, the message toward those that are lost, the embrace of God Almighty toward all nations, that having seen the Messiah live and die for men and rise again from the dead, all may know that whosoever may thirst, or whosoever thirsts, may come. This is what they sounded out. They got it out there into the world. And we're told not only in Macedonia and Achaia, of course they were in samples to those that were in those regions, but the word went further than that. But also in every place, your faith to God word is spread abroad. This is not talking here in this verse about the reputation merely. That's not what was sounded out. They were examples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. But in verse 8, it's not dealing with them sounding out the reputation. They weren't going around and saying, look how great we are. That wasn't what they took. It turns then from reputation to the message that they preached. And so that is what went beyond Macedonia and Achaia into every place your faith to God were to spread abroad. Everywhere you've went, everywhere you have gone. It's talking, therefore, about their efforts in spreading the gospel. And so there were places beyond these regions where their evangelism was taking a foothold. And the result, Paul says, so that we need not to speak anything. Again, this is not talking about the reputation. What he's saying here is that we don't have to share anything about the gospel in these places where you've already gone. You've gone to places before I've got there. You've reached into areas where really I don't need to go in a certain sense. You've gone there and I don't need to therefore bring the gospel there. Paul's desire was to preach and lay a foundation where no one else had been. And this church, therefore, was engaging in evangelistic effort that was going into regions that Paul had not been in, and therefore he did not have to go there himself. And we don't need to speak anything. We don't need to go there and bring the gospel for the first time. You've already gone there. Paul, therefore, is so encouraged by what they have done. And he had been, in some way, boasting about the reputation. He tells us that in the second letter, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. He has been talking about them, sharing what they have done, their endurance, and so on. We read in verse 3 of chapter 1 of that second epistle to them, "We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth." What a testimony. "So that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that ye endure." We ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for all that you are doing and enduring. And so he did speak about them. Their reputation was shared by Paul. But going back to this first chapter of the first epistle, he's not talking about them going with their reputation. He's talking about them going with the gospel. Them going to spread the word of God. And what an impact that had. And so this was their duty. This is what they did, and this is an example to us. You know, I thought about, you bring the verses that are, give us an idea of life in the church there. I thought, what an example for us too. Three things that I think we need to realize are fundamental in being exemplary for others. The things that don't change, that regardless of where we are or what we're facing in our generation, three things that must be able to be said about the church that desires to be an example for others. First, preach the truth enthusiastically. They were doing that. They were preaching the truth enthusiastically. They were going out as far as they could go carrying the truth. They were going there with heart, with zeal, with passion, with love. They were not holding back. They weren't at ease in Zion. They weren't considering their duty done if they merely stayed within their city and ministered to their neighbors. There was a broader vision. They were discipling other young people, other young men, raising them up, sending them forward, asking God to prepare them to disciple others and help them to disciple others so that they can go far and wide. And this is what happened. God moved quickly and powerfully in order for it to be said that the word of the Lord is being sounded, it's being trumpeted. It's being trumpeted. What a thing. The truth must be preached enthusiastically. Congregations that want to be examples to others, that must be something that they can be clearly identified. That they're not just preaching in order to, you know, they come together, a little flock gathering like this on a Sunday morning, And I get up and I bring some nice thoughts for you to consider, some truth for you to ponder over, and maybe some application for you to wrestle with. And then nothing happens. Nothing, there's no product, really. That can't be said. That is merely satisfying some kind of desire to tick off certain religious duty and desire. And not seeing the big picture, that the church that wants to be exemplary to others, to be a mother to others, has to lead in this, preaching the truth with enthusiasm, far and wide, as God gives opportunity. We need to have a heart for this. But not only preaching the truth enthusiastically, love others practically. I'm not going to go to it, but there are passages that show that already they were showing their love to others. This city, Thessalonica, was a place that many would come to in terms of business. They would pass through. And if you read the chapter or the letter carefully, you will find that they were helping. That there was a testimony in the church there that they were helping others. They were being hospitable. They were being practical. They were sending money. They were giving themselves to love others, not in word only, but in deed and in truth. Their lives were very, very evidently taking on the gospel, and it was conforming their lives in such a way that they looked at others and saw their responsibility in the lives of other people. Very important thing. You can be so doctrinally precise, but if people do not, if they come into contact with you and they do not sense any practical love shown to others, you can talk and preach until you're blue in the face. They will not believe that you really believe what you say you believe. There has to be the practical outworking of the truth in love. Real love. Now you can say, and I can say, I love all y'all. I can say that. And you can say it. But we all know it has to be seen, felt through the practical outworking of seeing need, rising to the challenge that providence brings our way. I see that brother in need. There he is. If I'm not moved toward him to help, can I say I'm a Christian? It's a challenge of the Word of God. They also, therefore, seek to win the lost energetically. There's an outworking, yes, preaching the truth enthusiastically, loving others practically, but they seek to win the lost energetically. And again, that this was so clear. The truth is there. We're going to see it in our next point in just a moment. But they were preaching it with heart, and they were loving practically, and there's just this driving energy that was moving them into the world. It was almost as if the Lord has said, I want you to reach the world for Christ. And regardless of what God was doing with Paul and with Silas and the rest of them, regardless of where they were going, they saw this sense of duty to make the world know that God loves sinners. Make the world know there's a message of hope. Make the world know that no one is beyond the experience of peace if they only have the Prince of Peace in their hearts. And they were moved. They were so moved to get this out. So they clearly then were exemplary in terms of duty. What they did, verse 8 makes that plain. But they also were exemplary in terms of doctrine. Why did they do it? What moved them to do it? And when we come to verses 9 and 10, we see the doctrines that were at the heart of what they were bringing to the world. First, note with me the doctrine of Christian repentance. Verse 9, we read, for they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. Ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. Now, what he's saying here at the beginning, they themselves, that is those places where you've gone, those places where you've had an impact, they're able to tell me, show of us, they're showing us, Paul and my companions, the manner of entering in we had onto you. In other words, I'm going to places where you've already been, and they're telling me about how you received the gospel when we went to you. That's what he's saying. In other words, the story of God's love poured out upon the city of Thessalonica, that story that we read in Acts chapter 17 was going ahead of Paul into areas, and he would arrive there, and they were hearing, we've heard. They came and they told us of how God's power came upon Thessalonica, and you brought the gospel to them, and then some of them have come to us and shared the gospel. It's gone before. And what was the story? What were they being told? How ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. They were testifying. They were going into cities and saying, here's what the Lord has done for me. Now, child of God, you have at least that, if you have nothing else, to share with the world. That you can go into places, wherever you're employed or wherever the providence of God has you right now, and you can sit people down or stand next to them and come alongside them and say, here is why I'm a Christian. Here is what God has done for me. And go back and tell the story. Well, you weren't in Thessalonica, and perhaps you weren't giving yourself to physical idols of that form, but they were. And you were giving yourself to something else. You have a story. You have a message. You have your own experience of God's redeeming love manifest in your life. You can talk about it. And you should be skilled in talking about it. Every last believer here, every last one of you, of any age and any ability to speak, should be able at a moment's notice to stand up and say, here's how I came to know Christ. Here is what the Lord has done for me. At a moment's notice, at the drop of a hat, you should be able to stand up and say, here's what the Lord has done. If you can't do that, if I was to ask you, and you would be petrified, not by merely having to share it to someone, but you're petrified because you don't know what you would say, then there's a problem. I mean, if you don't know your story, who does? I mean, you have to know what the Lord has done in your life. And it should be coming forth all the time, even as you pray, as you worship, as you sing hymns of testimony. Surely I'm not the only one singing hymns of testimony, thinking about how those experiences expressed in poetry that are sung to the Lord, how they apply in my own experience. Now I see the cleansing wave, the fountain deep and wide. I'm thinking of the time, the moment, the hour when God helped me to see by His Spirit. Are we so detached? No. Our hearts should know what God has done.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us at 1-864-244-2408. That's 1-864-244-2408. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there's a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying, thank you for listening. and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.